We actually had one JRF who completed 100 articles. 100 articles. And this guy is extremely passionate about international relations and affairs. His name is Paul Price. He ended up enjoying the process so much that I don't think he'll ever leave. So I encourage you guys to go through some of the publications and to read some of these articles, because if you don't know more about what the program is, and if you don't look at what's being released every week, it's something new, and you'll learn something new as well. We have an internship program available. That's another thing I wanted to talk to you guys about. The internship program is a four-month full-time position at our downtown Toronto office. Now, I know you guys are in school right now, so obviously September to, most likely to May would not be a good time because you guys are done school by June. But let's say you finish high school. When you do, I do want you to know about the fact that we have this internship and that we do have three different cycles. The first cycle is from September to December. Second cycle, January to April. And then the last one is the summer cycle, which is May to August. So the goal of the program and the internship is to help transition youth into a productive work in the field of international relations and business. Your work will be published on the website. It's work that you can put on your LinkedIn. It's work that you can share with your friends, your family. And it's just one way for you to perhaps have a position that leads to something else. A lot of our interns end up working for the federal government, municipal, provincial government. So there are a lot of different areas that you can go into as a result of interning, because again, brushing shoulders with politicians or with people who are in this field doesn't hurt. Any questions about the internship or the junior research fellowship? Any questions about the membership?
So I volunteered at the United Nations Association in Canada.
Yes.
How is that, like, their roundtables different from NAGRE's roundtable?
Most of our roundtables will be geared towards one of these programs.
Okay.
So Canadian Armed Forces was one of the roundtables that we had not too long ago. And during that roundtable, we had members from the military, the RCMI, the Royal Canadian Military Institute, actively engage and be involved in current issues of concern pertaining to our military, and not only our military, but the military of other countries.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so
Regarding the membership, is it
annual
or is it monthly?
It's $25 for the whole year. You guys will not be paying $25 each month. That's too much.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, it's a good... No, I'm glad you asked that question.
Either of these things would look excellent on your resume and on your application for university. Scholarships and all these things.
And there are so many scholarships that are provided. I don't know, you guys are planning on applying to university and or college. How many people, put your hand up if you're going to plan on going to university. College? Apprenticeship. College. Okay. Well, that's great. I mean, when you apply to, I know when I was applying to University of Waterloo, I received a huge scholarship because of the amount of work that I contributed, not only to the community, but I was actively involved in various student associations, and I received the Junior Citizen of the Year Award from City Hall. And I think that having something such as this on your resume, and again, I want you to pursue this because of an interest. there, we've had, I understand there are some people who might not be certain. And with any decision that you make, you have to analyze everything. You have to take the time to decide, do I want to do this? Is this right for me? Am I passionate? What am I going to obtain? What will I get out of this as a result of completing an internship? You always want to look at your best interests, but at the same time, you want to look at what work you can produce and what you can provide, what you can offer. So I think, well, I'm certain that an internship or a junior research fellowship would look really good on anyone's resume, and it would certainly make your resume stand out from the thousands of other resumes that are out there. Guys, the next thing that I want to talk about is more about the work that I do. You're going to be my helper. If you can, if you could just hand one out to each student. Or actually one, two, like one for each and then one. Exactly. So the handout that you guys will be receiving shortly is a handout that goes through, it shows all of my publications, all of the work that I'm currently doing. And I want you guys to look, everyone heads up. This is my schedule for October. There are days where, thank you very much. There are days where I have 2-3 meetings. I work from 9 to 5, and then I'll attend. I get invited to a lot of conferences. And I will always attend a conference unless I have a meeting or I'm interviewing someone. And by interviewing, I mean interviewing a consul general, a member of the military, a CEO, chief executive officer. Last week, I probably interviewed around, I would say it was 8 people. And let me tell you how I met these people. I attended a conference, which was held at the University of Toronto by the McKenzie Institute. It was held for 2 days. And the conference was geared towards cybersecurity, terrorism, issues pertaining to the possibility of an EMP, which is an electromagnetic pulse attack. There were experts, people who work for the Secret Service. You guys all know who CIA is, right? Obviously, if you work for the CIA, that's going to be your expertise. So after attending this conference, I networked with everyone that was there. I took the time to speak to each and every person who was a panelist or who presented. And one of the best interviews I've had to date, and that's not to take away anything from any of the other people that I've interviewed, because I have learned an immense amount about the significance between the relationship with Canada and other countries. But one of the best interviews would have to be, if you turn to page 3, it's talk to a diplomat, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. He's the executive director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security. He has numerous publications. All you have to do is Google him or look him up on the internet, and you will see all of the books that he has had published. He tends to examine Soviet and Russian nuclear strategies that have been implemented, and he worked as a CIA agent for 10 years, where he went to Russia and examined nuclear missiles, looked at their strategy, Russia's strategy, what plans are being implemented, what to watch out for. So he, one of the areas that he specializes in is EMP, electromagnetic pulse. Now, do you guys know what that is? Because you do. So what is it?
So, well, one of the theories is that suppose someone was to say another country or from outer space or something, an electromagnetic pulse blast would technically wipe out communication in wireless communication, satellites, cable, anything that's digital or electronic.
Exactly.
So, and unless it was like significantly underground, all wireless or anything electronic would be wiped.
Exactly. And now there is this electrical grid, like you mentioned. When that gets wiped out, what happens?
You're pretty much reduced to, similar to a power outage, there's no efficient way of communicating other than by paper or something like that. Because all typically most of the communication these days is done through electronic resources such as email or text message or phone calling. So it would be a drastic, it would have a drastic impact on, say, communication or efforts to do something globally.
I'm very impressed by the fact that you know that and that you had that ability to explain in detail exactly what it is.
Thanks.
You're brilliant.
Thanks.
Because a lot of people, I can tell you this, I went into this conference, not I didn't even know what EMP was. But by attending, I learned so much. And I encourage you all, when you have time, you don't have to look at every podcast, but if you go on the Global Horizon program, you will see all of the work that I do. Now, I tend to produce a lot of work each week. So after the interviews that I completed last week, I had about four items go up. And again, another one that I had was with Dr. Parsons. You guys know what podcasts are, right? All of you know that. So I interview someone, I record the entire conversation using a program referred to as Audacity. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Very easy. Okay, good. So you guys actually know what it is. Great. So I record the conversation. Once the conversation is done, I will provide a description of the significance of the meeting. What was the discussion about? Why is it relevant? Why am I speaking to this person? So every person that's in my program has something to provide and to offer to the program itself. I tend to not only like to, I'm not the kind of editor that likes to only have people with big names. I have interviewed anywhere from experts to scholars to politicians to students. And the reason why I like to interview students as well is because I want them to have that chance. I want them to have an opportunity to discuss relevant issues and to justify their reasoning behind a certain standpoint. One student that I gave this opportunity to was Larissa Beresneva. She's Russian. And I had her approach me at a conference that was held at Ryerson University in Toronto. And what happened is there were two teams, University of Toronto and Ryerson University. The debate was pertaining to whether the UN headquarters, which are in New York, whether the headquarters should be moved to Toronto. Now, Ryerson University had to argue in favor of moving the UN headquarters to Toronto. Meanwhile, U of T argued the exact opposite. They said, no, that would be too costly. UN headquarters belong in New York City, why would you take something away from someone who already has it and owns it? It would be insulting. So after listening to the entire debate, University of Toronto won, although Ryerson did a good job.